the book of Daniel. Does anybody here feel this morning that God wants to do something in your life this year? No. I'm not saying it as a cliche. Does anybody feel that this year God wants to do something in your life? Let me explain what I mean. You know, I said I worshipped in, I think, about four churches, different churches. And it's amazing that out of those four churches, about two of them have a similar theme to what we have. One of them, the theme for their year is unusual exploits. Another one is supernatural abundance and uncommon achievements. Has its supernatural exploits. And you know, as I went to about two or three places, I just got confirmation. In about two or three of the churches I went, anchor scripture for the year, Daniel 11:32, was quoted or spoken about. And that just made me understand that God is doing something. I don't know if anybody understands what I mean. And you see, I know without a shadow of doubt that God wants to do certain things in our lives this year. Now, it's not going to be the same proportion for everyone. It's not going to be the same thing for everyone. But for each person that keys into this word for the year, you can be certain that this year will be a year that the things that you have not been able to do or done before, for some reason or one way or the other, it will happen in your life. Amen? Amen? Yeah. Turn with me to Daniel 11. Daniel 11. By now, you should know the scripture. You should be able to quote it, part B of it at least. Daniel 11, 32. The Bible says, "But the people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits." The people who know their God shall be strong and carry out great exploits. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. That's another scripture I'm sure you ought to know, but I want us to read it. Ephesians 3:20. Are we there? It says, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us." Let me go back there. It says, to him who is able to do, number one, what? Exceedingly. That means to exceed, to go beyond. Number two, abundantly. That means to overflow. Number three, above all. That means way above, higher than we can think or ask. And then it says what? It says according to something. According to the thing that is already deposited in us. It says based on the things that he has deposited in us, he can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, because he has deposited some things in us, and as we utilize those things, we'll find out that he will go above the goals that we've set. Let me conclude by reading a third scripture in the book of Nehemiah, chapter 6, verses 15 to 16. Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 15 to 16. Are we there? Nehemiah is after 2 Chronicles, if you are looking for it. 2 Chronicles is in the Old Testament. If you are still struggling, just look on the screen. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 15, it says, "So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. Make a note of that. It says it was finished in 52 days. And it happened when all our enemies heard of it, and all the nations around us saw these things, that they were very disheartened in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was done by our God. In the name of Jesus, the work that will be done in your life this year, people will look around you and they will perceive that it can only be God that did it this year. I said, in the mighty name of Jesus, those around you, your colleagues, your peers, your friends, they shall see what God has done. They will look at you, watch where you are at the beginning of the year. And at the end of the year, they will say, my goodness, how did you achieve it? And you will be able to tell them that, but for the God that I have, that's what made me achieve it this morning. I believe that God, this year, that somebody's story is going to be like this. That the walls that were in ruins for so many years was completed for within 52 days. Notice that 52 days, you know, the year has 52 weeks. Every day that was completed will represent a week in your life. In the name of Jesus. Am I speaking to somebody this morning? He says they perceived that this work was done by our God. It means that Nehemiah did not have to speak out for himself. The wall spoke for him. You will not need to speak for yourself. You will not need to defend yourself. You will not need to say, oh, this is what I did. They will see it. The achievements, the exploits will speak for itself in Jesus' name. You know, I by the title of my message this morning is, have you got what it takes? Have you got what it takes? Or if you want a subtitle, the profile of a supernatural achiever, part 3. Maybe this year we'll have part 52. At the rate at which we are going. You know, 2 weeks ago, I started talking about the profile of a supernatural achiever. And I spent time talking about what it means to be a supernatural achiever, what it means to have supernatural exploits. And we looked at the life of David, and we found out a couple of things in the life of David. We found out that, number one, David loved God. I said that there were certain things that accounted for David to be able to achieve much. And the first thing I said is he loved God. You know, a lot of people say they know God or they love, but they don't really love God. David loved God. Second thing I said is he feared God. It's amazing, you know, I just came back from my country, Nigeria. It's amazing the number of Christians that are there and the state of the country. It's amazing that you hear Christians accepting sidekicks. And if you have the fear of God, I was explaining that about 2 weeks ago, that if you have the fear of God, it will constrain you from doing certain things. And we could see that David feared God. That's why he could not touch Saul. The third thing I said is that David consulted God every time on a regular basis. He was not presumptuous. And then number 4, I said he embraced the challenges that came his way. So that he saw the challenges as a stepping stone to his next level. And then number 5, you guys have not read your notes. He was committed, thank you. He was committed to what he put his hands to do. And then last week, Pastor Tumiche spent time talking about knowing God. Because I'll tell you what, the knowledge of God this year is what is going to make a difference. The knowledge of God. You see, when you know God, when God says, let me explain what I mean. You know, Elijah in the book of 1 Kings, God told him to go to the brook. Now, after a certain season had passed, because he knew God, he was able to hear God and hear the next instruction. The fact that you knew God a year ago does not mean you know God now. Am I making sense? So the knowledge of God is what will make you to achieve much. When I say know God, it's a continuous thing, a continuous process. So that your prayers yesterday may not be sufficient for today. Your revelation about God yesterday may not carry you through the challenges and the goals that you need to achieve today. So Pastor Tumi has spent some time talking about knowing God. But this morning, I just want to take it from another angle. A lot of it have been spiritual. But I want to talk about a few practical things this morning. Because in addition to the spiritual, there are certain practical things that we need to know about supernatural achievers. You know, one of the things that I found out is that if you look at the life of people that achieve much, there tends to be a consistency about the things they do. I was on the plane. I picked up an article. I was reading an article. And the article was talking about qualities of great leaders. And the article stated that there was a sort of consistency in the lives of some of those leaders. It stated my general overseer, Pastor Yi Adegboye, stated Bill Gates, Oprah Winfrey, and everything. It wasn't from a Christian point of view. And he stated certain things, and that if you study their lives, there are certain things. And I fully agree with what that article says. Because if you look at the Bible and look at the life of the great achievers in the Bible, you'll notice there is some consistency. There are certain character traits that you'll notice in their lives. And this morning, I just want to share some of the ones that I've picked up from the life of a gentleman called Nehemiah. You see, one of the mistakes a lot of people make is that we place a lot of emphasis on talents. You know, a certain gentleman wrote a book called Talent is Overrated. I was just reading a review of it. I haven't read the book yet. I was just reading a review of it on my trip. And a lot of times we place a lot of emphasis on the gifts and talents of people. And people that don't have a talent that is evident sometimes think that they cannot achieve much. So whether you cannot sing, or people that cannot sing or don't have a good voice or have a artistic or a certain talent that is very visible, and everybody has a talent. But sometimes you think that because my talent or the profession I'm in is not very visible, we think that I cannot go beyond certain things. But then, talent is one thing, but talent is not what will make you achieve much. Talent would help. It would help in your fulfilling your purpose in life. But it is not the key factor in you achieving what God wants you to achieve. Am I making sense this morning? So this morning, I just want to look at the life of Nehemiah and look at a couple of things. Now, for me personally, I believe that Nehemiah stands amongst the supernatural achievers in the Bible. In fact, if you were to think of Nehemiah in this day and time, if he lived during this time, I'm sure that he would have been stated in the who is who. Or his name would have been stated as one of the great leaders or achievers of the century. I don't know what your opinion is, but that's what I think. Now, Nehemiah is an interesting person because we are told that he heard about the wall of Jerusalem and he purposed, made a decision to do something about it. And the Bible tells us, like we read, that a wall that had been in ruins for some years, within 52 days, that wall was completed. Now, what amazed me the most about the life of Nehemiah is that if you read the book of Nehemiah, you'll notice that it was not easy. It was not easy sailing along the way. I need a church that is alive this morning. Maybe I need to get back on the plane to go to Nigeria. You see, you'll notice that it was not plain sailing all the way for him. So sometimes when we say, oh, he completed it within 52 days, we might think, oh, everything was easy going. But he faced challenges. He faced the sort of opposition you and I face. In fact, what he faced in those 52 days, if some people face it in 52 days, they will have a nervous breakdown. Am I speaking to somebody? Nehemiah, and with the danger of repeating myself over and over again, that I start sounding like a broken record. Nehemiah knew God. That was, you see, the knowing of God, I'm not going to talk about that amongst the traits I'm talking about, but I just want to mention that, is a foundation for anything we are going to achieve. In fact, that's the foundation for what we are going to achieve this year, before we even talk about some of the traits. Nehemiah knew God and constantly communicated with God on a regular basis. Before, during, and in the process of the building, he was regularly talking to God. I cannot emphasize the knowing God factor in order to do great exploits. I cannot overemphasize it this year. If at all, your priority this year must be to seek God's face daily. Because the instructions of yesterday will not work for today. Let me use an example. Let me just use one that would get your attention, money. Because, you know, when we talk about making money, a lot of people, their ears tingle. Now, in the country where I come from, Nigeria, the exchange rate to dollars in December was $118 to one. Yes? Sorry? So, sorry, 118 naira to $1. Now, when I got to Nigeria, it was 150 naira to one. Before I left, it was 162 or so, or 63 naira to $1 within a week. Get this. I'm talking about achieving much, and I'm just using this to get your attention. Now, for somebody that communicates regularly with God and lives in Nigeria, when it was $118, if they are taking enough money to buy $10,000 in December, hold on to it. Use a buy and hold strategy. And then the week before I came, just last week, this is in about a month, sell it at $163, they would have made a profit of cool profit. Now, the only way anyone would have been able to do that, I don't know if anybody did that, but I'm just saying, is if they had known God. Because it's only God that knows whether it's going up or down. So that the knowing of God, for somebody that is in that kind of business, maybe Forex, and deals with Forex, if they operate that kind of business, the knowing of God, the Holy Spirit would have instructed, go and buy it at that rate. Am I making sense? And it's the same way in your life this year. It is the knowing of God that will give you the instructions every step of the way on what to do and how to do it. Whether to go this way or the strategy to use. So I just want to reemphasize it. Your priority to do great exploits. Look, at the end of the year, if you have not achieved much, before you come and meet me that, Pastor, your word did not come to pass. Go and check your records whether you every day sought God's face. Before you get depressed, that, hey, this person did this, it seems as if God has forgotten me. Go back and check your records, whether on a daily basis, you were marking your register. One of these days, I'll share a message called, Are You Known in Heaven? Whether the angels know you. Anyway, let me move on. Let me begin to share a couple of things that we can learn from the life of Nehemiah that I think is very key if we are going to achieve great things this year, supernatural exploits. The first thing, which I've shared so many times, is that Nehemiah started with a vision. He started with a dream. He started with goals. I'm using both of them together. They are not exactly the same thing. A vision is different from goals. But which is, for the sake of this message, I'm using it as the same thing. He started with a vision. In the book of Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 5, the Bible says something. Let me start from verse 4. It says, "Then the king said to me, 'What do you request?' So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, 'If it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it.'" He started, in quote, his year. Now, we know that's not his year, but I'll use the word his year, or the project. He started with a vision. He had a plan. He envisioned the end he wanted by the end of the day. He had a goal of rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem. You see, if you don't start with a vision or a goal, there's nothing for God to bless. If you don't start with a vision, then what will happen is you will be pulled here and there depending on the circumstance. You find out that people that don't have a goal put their hands to so many things and anything or everything. The situation determines what they are doing. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 29, verse 18, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." Another version says that where there is no revelation, the people cast off restraint. When there is no revelation from God concerning that God tells you, go and do this, or this is what you should do. It means that to cast off restraint means that you do what you wish to do. It means that you anything goes. Am I making sense? You know, vision is very important. I've had a number of occasions that churches in this city, and we work in collaboration with churches on various things. But I've had occasion in the past whereby a pastor will call me up and say that, "Oh, we want to do this. Let's do it together." Now, because I know the vision that God gave us either for the year or the goals, I immediately say, this is not part of the vision or goals or plan we have for this year. That's not part of our strategy. We will support you in whichever way we can, but we will not put our resources towards it. And then some other people will come that are in line with what I think is what God has told us to do. And I'll say, yes, let's do it together. Why? Because at the beginning of the year, I haven't shared the vision with the congregation, actually, this year's. Okay. Have I shared it with workers? Okay, so just the ministers. Whoa. Okay, I'll share with you. But because at the beginning of the year, we spent time, or well before the beginning of the year, we spent time seeking God's face. Lord, this year, what are your plans for us? So that our resources are get towards that. So, for example, this year, one of the things that I believe God has laid on our heart is to spend more time as a church praying. Which is one of the reasons every day we're going to start a prayer group every day. Different people. So that there's no whatever that, oh, I cannot come to prayer meeting on Friday. You can come on Monday. You can come on Tuesday. Wednesday, there's one going on. Thursday, there's one going on. Friday, there's one going on. Sunday morning, there's one going up. If you can wake up. Am I making sense? The first thing he did is that he started with vision. He started with a goal in mind. He knew where he wanted to be at the end of the year. You see, when you know where you want to be at the end of the year, and praise God, we spent November last year seeking God's face. So for those that did it, God ought to have impregnated you with the plans for your life for the year. Now, when you do that, and it is the plans from heaven, or it's been dropped in your spirits by the Holy Spirit, as you walk towards it, because it is God's plan, not your plan, what will happen is you'll have the stamp of approval, God's stamp of approval. You'll find that in the building of the wall of Jerusalem, one thing that Nehemiah had, he had the stamp of approval of God. So that when he went to see the king, there was favor. When he went to see the king, he asked that, give me a letter to get some, there was favor. When he went to meet the leaders of Jerusalem, immediately they said, yes, let's rise up and build. Why? Because the plan, the goals Nehemiah had, were in line with the plans of God. You find that before he started at all, he prayed. If you read the scriptures, the Bible says that when he heard the walls were in ruins, he wept, sought God's face. Am I making sense? So that by the time he started working on what he needed to do, God's stamp of approval was upon it. So, first thing, he started with a vision. He started with goals. He started with a dream. The second thing that we can learn from Nehemiah's life is the fact that he valued the input of others. If you want to put it this way, you can call it teamwork. He worked in collaboration, in cooperation. He valued the input of others in the vision being made, being fulfilled. Let's turn to Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 17 to 18. Are you being blessed? I think there are just about five people here that are. Nehemiah, if it's only one person today that God has sent me to speak this message, I believe that one person, a difference will be made in their life.
Amen.
Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 17. He says, are we there? Then I said to them, that's when he went to speak to the leader, officials of Jerusalem. Then I said to them, you see the distress we are in, how Jerusalem lies waste, and its gates are burned with fire. Come and let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God which had been good upon me and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. And if you read chapter 3, I'll just read the first two or three verses. It says, then Eliasib, the high priest, rose up with his brethren, the priest, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They built it as far as the Tower of the Hundred and consecrated it. Then as far as the Tower of Hananel and consecrated it. Next to Eliashib, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zachor, the son of Imri, built. Also the sons of Hasina built the fish gate, the laid its beams. And you'll notice all through chapter 3, they were talking about how the different groups were positioned to build together. Now, a lot of people try to achieve things on their own. We set the goals and we think that I can do it on my own without the input of other people. Or without the advice or input, or even working together with somebody. Sometimes it's a sign of greediness. So sometimes we have a business plan. And we have big plans. And now you can't work with everybody. It's not everybody. You need to be led by the Holy Spirit. We have great plans for our business. But we want to keep it all to ourselves. You see, you'll find that people that achieve much, they always have people that work with them. There is no person, no one on earth that did great exploits that achieved it on their own. They talk about people that are self-made millionaires. You know, they always say self-made millionaires or they're Somebody helped them along the way. You can be certain. Personally, I think Billy Graham is one of the greatest evangelists of recent years. Billy Graham is the name we know. Everybody knows Billy Graham. And we know he achieved a lot. But what a lot of people don't realize is, weeks before he goes into a city, his team go in there and start praying. They start meeting with the pastors of the local pastors and start working in a collaboration with them anytime he's going to hold a crusade. And not just working in collaboration, they start organizing, they get the various local churches to bring their workers or help with the officiating. But when we talk about it, we say Billy Graham. But he has the input of so many other people in order to do this great work. Am I making sense? When we started the church, one of the things we used to do is that when a new person joins the church, or this is at the very, very initial stages, you know, a new family or a new, what we'll do is we'll invite them to dinner in our house. And we'll sit with them after dinner. We'll share the vision that God has put in our spirit concerning the church. We'll share the mandate because we realize that we cannot do it on our own. So we want them to buy into it. Am I making sense? Because we realize that what God has called us to do, it's not what we can do on our own. It's not what this church can do on its own. That's why I said we work in collaboration with other churches that have the same goals or vision that we have. Now, in order to do great exploits this year, you'll find out that God will send your way divine relationships that are in line with the plans of God for your life. I wish I had the time. There's a certain lady in this church who's passionate about the youth. And she started a work with the youth last year, whereby, you know, she gathers them in a place on Monday. Anyway, it used to be in her house. Now, as time went on, God opened a door for her. She met somebody. And one way or the other, that person knew other people on behalf of her. She didn't even apply for the grant. They applied for a grant to pay for the location that they will be using to do the youth work. Not from her pocket. So she didn't even apply for the grant. Now, recently, she went on a course, and she was giving me a feedback. She said she met some other people that will be, it's like a divine network being created for her. Am I making sense? But where did she start from? She started from the dream. And from starting from the dream, she realized the need to get the input of other people. And I'll tell you what, as she does it faithfully, I believe strongly that what she's doing before the end of this year, there will be a great movement in there, in Jesus' name. That a lot of the youths in this city should start touching their lives. You need teamwork. One thing I should have mentioned is that, you know, I spoke about the vision, the dream, and the goals. One of the dreams that we should be dreaming or thinking of this year, or that we should have, is what can I do to impact the life of other people? Because you find out that the vision, the dream, Nehemiah, when he heard about the walls of Jerusalem, he was not even in Jerusalem. He had nothing to do with him. He was comfortable. He was in the king's palace. He had access to the king. He was eating good food, the choicest foods. He had his 4 or 5-bedroom house. He had a good car. He had a good job. So he did not need to take on the burden. But it's interesting because so many people would have also heard about the walls of Jerusalem being in ruins. Many people would have seen it. He did not even see it to say that, oh, because he saw it, that's what brought the burden. He heard it, and the burden came. And he said, I need to make a difference in the life of certain people. You see, it's not enough to be a Christian. It's not enough to sit in church this year. It's not enough to just come to church and be blessed. When you hear the word, go and practice it out there. When you hear the word, look for somebody that you can change their life, or a group of people. Am I making sense? You see, the teamwork, the divine networking that God will bring your way, is not for your own profiting. That's why sometimes God has not sent divine helpers that we need, because all we are still thinking about is how we will profit. What a lot of people are thinking about is how me, my family, and I will be very comfortable and we'll make money and sit on the money. Am I making sense? Am I making sense? You know, I was amazed that when I went to Nigeria, I didn't even realize it. Somebody close to me, you know, I didn't realize she was doing this work. Every Monday, of her own accord, nothing to do with her church. Every Monday, of her own accord, she goes to an, I think a youth detention center. I think that's what it is. A youth detention center. And what she said is that she started, she goes there with maybe food or something to attract them. So when they gather, she shares the word with them and then gives them food afterwards. And then to encourage them, she sometimes does a quiz on what they did last week. And if you get the quiz, she gives you a special something more. She said they actually look forward to her coming in. Now that person, and this person is not a pastor in their church. She's not a pastor. She's not a deacon. She's not. She's an usher. She's an usher. Of her own accord, not the church. Am I making sense? But she's changing the lives of certain people. And as she's doing that, God will send some resources away. Amen. Am I making sense this morning? What was number one? Vision, dreams, goals. Number two, teamwork. Number three, the third thing, that if you want to achieve much, do supernatural exploits this year, is you need hard work. You need to work hard. You need to work hard. Nothing comes easy. Anything that comes easy goes easy. You know, there's a saying, easy come, easy go. You see, sometimes people make mistake that the fact that we pray for favor and God gives us favor does not mean you don't need to work. The fact that God's stamp of approval is on what you're doing does not mean that you need to work hard or you don't work hard. Get this. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 4 as I try to. Nehemiah chapter 4. Are you there? Verse 15. Yeah? It says, and it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us, and that God had brought their plots to nothing, that all of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. They were working. So it was from that time on that half of my servants worked at construction, while the other half held the spears, the shields, the bows, and war armor, and the leaders were behind all the house of Judah. Verse 21. So we labored in the work. Did you notice that? We labored in the work. It means that they worked hard. You see, Nehemiah could have had the vision, the goals. He may have had the supports. But if they did not work hard, that 52 days could have continued to 52 years. It could have continued to 52 weeks. Get this. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs 13, verse 4, it says the soul of a lazy man desires and has nothing, but the soul of the diligent shall be made rich. So the lazy man desires, has a dream, has a vision. But desire does not translate into getting it. You see, they always say something. There's a saying in the country where I come from that hard work has never killed anyone. Though sometimes I wonder, because sometimes you see some of those laborers, you think these ones are. But now, when I say hard work, working hard on the plans that God has given you, not just hard work anywhere. You see, a lot of people do hard work, but they do it in just toiling. A lot of people work hard on what God has not sent them to do. You see, when you work hard on what God has not sent you to do, there is no way God's breath will be upon it. Oh my goodness. Thank you, my sister. Encourage me. Am I making sense? You see, but when you work hard on what God has sent you to do, because God himself has sent you to do it, and he sees you doing it. I explained that supernatural means that your natural abilities with the breath of God upon it. So that when you work hard on the things that God has sent you to do, what happens? God puts his own super extraordinary, his breath blows upon it. That's why when Moses went to Pharaoh, because it's God that sent him, every time he went, God backed him up. When you work hard on what God has sent you, you can be certain that you've got his backing. Am I making sense? I'm talking about practical things so that we don't. These are things, if you want to achieve much this year, you need to work hard at. Let me use an example. If you believe that God has given you a ministry or called you to maybe preach, as an example, you need to work hard on studying the Bible. You cannot know the Bible. God will not open your brain and put the Bible in there. You need to work hard at studying it, reading it, meditating upon it. If you believe that God has called you to start a business, as an example, you need to work hard at the business. Amen? Next thing. You see, desire and vision does not equate to the work that needs to be done. The Bible says faith without works is what? Is dead. You can have all the faith. You can have all the vision. You can receive all the prophecy. But if the action is not there, it's dead. It is dead. Amen. Number four, quickly. Nehemiah was focused on the task that needed to be done. He was focused. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3. Nehemiah chapter 6, verse 3. It says, so I sent messengers. Let me read it from verse 1, actually. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem the Arab, and the rest of our enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall, and there were no bricks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors in the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Hono. But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you? But they sent me this message. Notice that four times they continued sending the same message. Let us meet. And he says that, and I answered them in the same manner four times. The Bible doesn't say four times. Well, I might have answered four times. Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before, the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. And he goes on. But the key thing is that he did not allow himself to be distracted. You know what opposition, hindrances, obstacles do, challenges do? They try to distract you from the work God has sent you to do. Do you know that the only job Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem had in this whole Bible was to be a hindrance, an obstacle to the rebuilding of the wall? After all that was said in terms of that, their name is not mentioned anywhere. So, if you come across a challenge this year, just see it as a distraction that wants to stop the work. You see, you'll notice that Sanballat, every time, distract Nehemiah, it was with a view to stopping the work that God had given them to do. Now, you need to change your thinking whenever you come across a challenge. You need to begin to change your perspective when you come across a challenge in the work that God has called you to do, in the vision. You need to begin to see that this is a distraction that wants to stop the work. Am I making sense? You see, Nehemiah refused to be distracted. A lot of people would have stopped and gone to meet. In fact, they tried on many occasions. They sent a letter. They did various things. But he was focused. At one time, another person came and said, oh, let us meet. He said, why should I come down? Am I making sense? One of the key things that you want to do this year is to maintain your focus. You see, focus is a prerequisite to supernatural achievements. Being focused is a prerequisite to achieving much, to supernatural exploits. People that do so many things here and there, this, that, today they are doing this, another, the next day they are doing that, another. A lot of people, now they may be surviving, but you find out that they do not have the kind of supernatural exploits I'm talking about. Maintain your focus this year. It's one of the prerequisites that is required. Number five, last one, as I try to round up. Number five, are we there? Courage. That's the fifth thing. Now, to achieve in life is not for the faint-hearted. It is not for the faint-hearted. You see, it takes courage to continue doing what you're doing when people criticize you. It takes courage to continue doing what you're doing when you're faced with opposition. It takes courage to continue doing what God has sent you to do when you are being attacked, either physically, verbally, or spiritually, or even emotionally. It takes courage to continue when your finances are under attack. It takes courage. But get this. If you look at the book of Joshua chapter 1, time will not permit us. Joshua chapter 1. It's interesting that God told Joshua in that same chapter 3 times that be courageous. Why did he say that? He said that 3 times. You know, when you think of it, Joshua was about to enter into some realm. They were about to enter into the promised land. And they were going to face opposition. They would need to fight battles. Joshua would need to lead the people. And they were about to step into a realm. Joshua was about to take the people where Moses could not take them into. He was about to achieve what his mentor could not achieve. And God told him, three times. Be courageous. When you think of it, why did God have to repeat himself? It means that there's something important about courage when you have a vision that God has given you. When you have a task or an assignment, or when you want to achieve a lot, you see, if you look at the life of Moses, if you think about it, he had courage. Because when you think of it, in those days, Pharaoh was like a god. I said this about 2 weeks ago. Pharaoh was like a god. Now, what Pharaoh said in those days, that's it. That's law. That's rule. Pharaoh, you know, when I read that, I sometimes wonder that, why did Pharaoh not kill him? This is just me. But whatever reason, he couldn't, because God's hand was upon him, definitely. But it takes courage to go and meet somebody at that. Let me put it within the context. If you look at the book of Esther, when Esther was about to approach the king, you know, the Bible says that you cannot approach the king unless the scepter is raised. If not, whoever approaches the king will be killed. And you see, after Pharaoh said, no, 1, 2, 3, it takes courage to keep on going back to ask. Somebody that had the power, in quotes, to kill. If you want to achieve, you need courage. Courage means to be brave. Courage means that when we are facing challenges, you stare the challenge in the face and you keep on moving forward. Courage means when there's a Goliath in front of you, you don't tremble like the soldiers of Israel. You know, courage does not mean the absence of fear. By being courageous doesn't mean that you are not scared, though. Fear is a natural human emotion. So I'm not saying don't be afraid. Or I'm not saying there won't be fear. Let me use that word. But courage is the ability to conquer the fear. Courage is the ability to control the fear that the enemy wants to use to paralyze you. Let me round up here. The question I have for you this morning, have you got what it takes to become a supernatural achiever in your life? Have you got what it takes, after I've shared all those things, some of the points, have you got what it takes to carry out great exploits, supernatural exploits this year? Let's rise up and pray.